all spread your wings, close your eyes, let your love flow, come inside, spread your wings, and close your eyes, let your love flow. Standing on an endless horizon with our faces turned into the...
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, and Aru! And a hearty welcome to this week's Dog Poet transmission from in between everything, in the process of getting from one place to another, and hovering in limbo above the slow, incremental surge of transformation that never seems to arrive. And why is that? That's because so many of us expect it to blow up at any moment. We're anticipating what the divine has in mind. We think we know, even though we'll admit that the divine is beyond our comprehension, we project. Some of us are well informed about the approach of mysterious planets and the action of the sun. We've read deep books by people like Sitchin and whoever, and we know all about ancient civilizations and the destruction of cultures and visitors from other planets. So there. Well, none of us knows much of anything, actually. We've got some knowledge about a modality or two that we've put a little time into. We observe life and we get the idea of where other people are coming from, and we're pretty confident we can spot the good guys and the bad guys by now, and maybe we do have that together more or less. I'm talking about this tonight because of something that happened to me the other day. I was driving into a nearby and larger town to take my computer to this computer guy who's supposed to know what he's doing, but keeps forgetting things even though he writes them down. I don't know exactly how and when it happened, but at some point on my way in, I started having a conversation with the divine, and in the process, I saw how I was limiting the action of the divine in my life. You see, I had an idea of how the divine operates, how the divine would go about doing something, and also how long it would take the divine to do it. I realized that I had a lot of judgments on myself, which hindered the actions of the divine because somehow or another, I was deciding what it was okay for the divine to give me. I'd created God in my own image, sort of. I'd limited God and what God could do. This came at me on a visceral level. It wasn't just the usual intellectual flash of insight. When something hits you on the visceral level, then it changes you. It becomes real in you. Trauma will do this. Waking up to who and what you've been, when your denial breaks in respect of an event or some inner transformation, that'll do it too. The intellectual apprehension of something is like a coming attraction for a movie that isn't playing yet. You've got some idea of what the film is about, but that's all. You're not actually in the movie yet. That's what happens in this metaphor, analogy, whatever it is. You see the coming attractions of life, and then maybe not, the movie starts playing and you're in it. You can feel and see and experience every aspect of what's happening. Before this, you're looking at the water in the ocean and reflecting on what it might be like to jump in. Jumping in is when the movie starts playing. So the movie starts playing, and I could see that nothing was impossible for the divine. And there are no limits or time constraints on the divine. There was nothing the divine could not do should the divine wish to do so. Just because the divine doesn't do something has nothing to do with whether the divine can do it. And that brings me to the next thing that happened while I was driving. This time I was driving back from the computer store, where I would later find out that the computer guy didn't do a couple of more things that he agreed to. And I had been tipping him well each time, too, more fool I. Anyway, it came into my mind that another way we limit the divine is in not absolutely, confidently expecting a response in respect of every prayer and request we make. Once again, this was a visceral experience, and it hit me in a way that made me feel like I had discovered the Holy Grail and was a complete fool at the same time. After all, I've been hearing for ages that faith was the substance of things unseen, that you must ask believing, that whatever he asked for was already a fact in the mind of God and merely needed to precipitate down, and the speed of that would be dependent on the faith and degree of advancement of the one asking, and according to the necessities of time and circumstance, and there I go again. Even though it's true, there is no telling how the divine will operate, and maybe it's true, but I believe it's true, but do I know? No. It's said that the divine knows what you're asking for before you even ask for it, and that the divine even put that desire in your mind to begin with. Desire is the agent of God's will. We also hear, lead us not into temptation. It's a lot to think about. Thinking is where our problems start. The focus of our thought motivates our speech and action, which is why I'm constantly seeking to focus on the divine and just as constantly getting distracted, which is what happens to all of us. I haven't made that grand step yet, where the water is always running and all I have to do is listen to it, and it gets louder and louder until it drowns out the tumult of the world. I know it's coming. It's coming for every one of us who've done enough work to be longing for it in this most auspicious of times. Which brings me back to the beginning of this little chat about how we're all waiting for something to happen. Some massive false flag, an attack in Iran, the collapse of the dollar, some tremendous outburst from Mother Nature or whatever may be coming and going in your mind. We don't know. We don't know, but something within us does, and that is where our attention must be. Because if you know, the divine doesn't know. And if the divine knows, you don't. So if you're informed, then you can't be further informed because you already know. And that's not a safe place to be. Not in my estimation, anyway. It's like trying to put water into a bucket that's already full. You know, or trying to put fresh water into a bucket of salt water. You have to empty that bucket out, get rid of everything you know, and then put yourself in a position where the divine can instruct you as to what is really so. And unless you're perfect and already completely in communication with the divine, it probably means you, like I and everyone else, do not have it together. More or less. Yesterday I was typing on my keyboard, and all of a sudden the keyboard started acting strange. It would skip letters, and it required force to make the letter appear. And even then, sometimes it wouldn't, but then it would skip a space, which made what I was doing at least 10 times slower than it had been. Meanwhile, the right click on the mouse had stopped working earlier. And sometimes I had to right click 5 or 6 times to get it to make the dialog box appear. I was starting to get annoyed when I caught myself. That happens a lot lately. And I simply said, "Help me." Immediately, the keyboard began to operate properly, and the mouse too. 10 minutes later, it began again, and I responded the same. And it worked immediately again, and it's still working fine now. Things like this happen to me a lot, but they don't work out like that usually, or haven't been. I get pretty amped about what I discovered on my car ride, and I was saying, "Please stay with me, please don't go." I felt like a kid who'd gotten a new toy and was also frightened that it would be taken away. Some of the power of the moment did diminish, as such things often do, but the awareness is still with me. However, as soon as I got back to the house, things began to go wrong without cease. Every small thing, every effort of communication, you name it, it went south. I realized that this had to do with my reactive mind. It was a teaching exercise from the divine who was making all of it happen. So I attempted not to react. Try it sometime. I had mixed results, but it was a success every time. I didn't, and then it was okay again. My life is like being inside of a mixmaster without needing to even leave the room I'm in. Everything is 24/7 live and wired, and it's unsettling and uncomfortable, but I know what's waiting. That's another thing that happened. I had yet another visceral experience in which I could clearly see where I was headed, and all I had to do was keep going and endure. That's a key for all of us, to maintain our focus on the divine and not give up. As we're doing this, our mind is often focused on regret, trying to stay above water, guilt at our failures. We don't see clearly that we are bound for a higher plane. I've seen many versions of higher planes, though I've never been allowed to stay there so far, but I now know that's coming, and every day brings countless indications that I'm engaged in a one-on-one with the divine. In fact, we all are, but the recognition factor is often missing. As time passes, I try to see every event in my life as a special outworking of God interacting with me. Sometimes I can clearly see it, and the astonishing thing is that I am not floored by it. I assume that it's still coming. One of my constant prayers to the divine is that the divine not allow me to get any ideas of self-importance or demonstrate any of the qualities that I dislike seeing in those who are in a position to have an effect on the way other people think. Of course, we all do, but once again, do not recognize the degree to which such a thing might expand into. I ask God to remove my shortcomings and give me the qualities of the divine, to grant me the presence and activate my awareness of the presence, and to grant me that divine intoxication that can attend it so that I will be free of the need to push the envelope, which I do in order to experience the divine more deeply, which does in fact happen, but which also fades. More and more I want to immerse myself in meditation, and I'm working in that direction. I'm going away for 2.5 weeks starting this weekend. There's a chance I won't be able to do a radio show for the next 2 weeks, but it seems like I'm going to try to do all three of them tonight. I'm not taking my big unit with me, but an aging laptop that may or may not allow me to record a show, but will hopefully allow me to at least post my blogs. We're hoping to bring a number of things in space back from where we're going, and space is an issue. And if I don't manage to get radio shows to you, well, I already said I will. I'm going to see what I do. Whatever. I also wanted to take a moment to say a few words about our host, James Jancic. I've been interacting with James for some time, and I've come to be very impressed with his easygoing manner and his tolerance of all things visible. I don't know the details of James' life and work, but I get the idea that every week he gets into a great big truck and drives thousands of miles back and forth. I know he's got state-of-the-art sound, and then he probably listens to his shows as he goes down the highway in the day and in the night, the miles trailing behind him. I think we forget what James goes through in the process of putting the show on every week, and unlike me, he doesn't flake out here and there, so I'd like you to think about that and drop James a few bucks when it comes to mind if you're enjoying these broadcasts. And if you keep coming back, it must mean that you do. Well, let me go back to where we were, and we can muse a little bit more on the subject at hand. There's a difference between the intellectual apprehension of the divine, which is impossible, and a gut-level appreciation of the divine, which is based on not knowing. A gut-level certitude is you don't know, and then the path of wisdom can open independent of what we think we know, independent of what we expect, independent of what we think we are, what the divine is, and what the world is. We're led on a path of our own being, beautifully tailored to the unique creation that we are. Every one of us is different from everyone else, and though we share the commonality of a single universal self, we are uniquely individual. And that's one of the reasons there's so much conflict about spiritual truth and so much confusion in religion. Religion only takes us so far. All our disciplines only take us so far. Everything we do can only take us so far until we come to the point where we are allowed to surrender and experience the indescribable wonder of the divine. I look upon the divine as my friend. You can look at the divine any way you please because the divine has a version for it. The divine is accommodating, though we feel that life is filled with struggle, confusion. Well, that's all us. That's the personality and the surface mind, grappling with what it doesn't get. As soon as we can let go, these things go away, because they are all an example of our resistance. We may not think we're resisting. We may think we're doing everything not to resist, that is. But then there's the doing part, everything we're doing that proves we're still engaged in resistance. The divine is guaranteed to blow your mind. Whatever you think is so, or was so, or may come to be so, is not so, but only something colored through the perceptions of the personality, defining its world according to its fears and desires. That's a sum total of us. Our personality is composed of all of these things, and we think we are the personality, but we are not. Our true identity is the self behind the personality, and that's what we need to link up with and connect to. Because otherwise, everything is suffering, and everything is about the lessons we need to learn to the point where finally we accept the fact of the indwelling self. And we turn our attention there. This is what we need to do. Because otherwise, you know, we're going against our own best interests. We're going against ourselves. And we're being herded like everyone else in the world on the wheel of death and rebirth in a state of ignorance, believing that we are this self that we're not. And we are, in fact, the self behind that. You know what? I think I will go ahead and do another radio show right now and see if that can happen. Then we'll only miss 1 week. Okay, there you go, Visible. Sorry, lost my mind just for a moment. Well, we've come to the end of another broadcast, as it inevitably must be, and I thank you for attending. And, well, I'm going to see you next week if there is one. Maybe. In the meantime, let's see if we can't look a little deeper into all the small events that compose our lives in ordinary times, and see if we can't observe all of the things we think and feel in respect of them and outside of them. Let's see if we can remember what happens to us in sleep and what enters our mind at the moment of awakening. We need to observe and watch ourselves. We are the main study in which we should be engaged. Nothing else. Well, that said, I send you my love and a hearty Hare Krishna, aloha, and aru!
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.